A young man joined a monastery, and this monastery was so strict that you could not speak. It was complete silence. Except once every 5 years, you were allowed to meet with the abbot, and there you could speak to him, but you could only say two words every 5 years. So 5 years goes by, and the young man goes for his meeting with the abbot, and the abbot says, "How are things going?" And the young man says, "Bad food." And the abbot said, "Offer it up." So 5 more years go by, and he comes for his next visit. And the abbot says, "What do you have to say for yourself?" The young man says, "Hard bed." And the abbot said, "Well, offer it up." So another 5 years goes by. Now he's been in for 15 years, and he goes to meet with the abbot, and the abbot says, "What do you have to say for yourself?" The young man says, "I quit." The abbot says, "I'm not surprised. All you've done is complain since you've been here." Today's gospel is about Martha, she's the patron saint of complainers. She said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me all by myself to do all the serving? Tell her to help me." Let's take a look at this gospel, very short gospel. Jesus goes to Bethany. Bethany is just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And it was the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. They were brothers and sisters, Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus. Jesus always stayed at their home. It was close by Jerusalem. So whenever he was in town, he would go there and have meals. He would stay with them. They were his adopted family. And so the Lord loved them so much, he would even raise Lazarus from the dead. And as Jesus wept over Lazarus, he said, "See how much he loved him." So the Lord was very close to this family. And on this occasion, Martha was in the kitchen doing all the work, and Mary, her sister, just sat at the Lord's feet, listening to him and talking to Jesus and listening to the pearls of wisdom that came forth from the mouth of Christ. And Martha, it says, was burdened with much serving. See, it seems to me that Jesus himself didn't show up just by himself. He probably brought the 12 apostles with him, right? So Martha probably had every right to be burdened with much serving, trying to cook a meal for all these people. But what happened was that she got stressed out. She became very anxious and very worried about all she had to do. So she began to complain. She lost her peace. And she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." In other words, she lost her peace and she began to have a bad attitude about this. Whereas normally serving meals, this is a corporal work of mercy, to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, to welcome someone to your home. These are good things. Martha was doing good things. She was serving the Lord. But what happened was she lost her peace. And she began to complain and grumble and be filled with anxiety, stress, and worry. What is the answer to those things? What is the antidote? What is the remedy? Jesus says, it is prayer. Prayer is the remedy, the medicine, the antidote to stress, anxiety, and worry. Worry won't get you anywhere. They say it's like a rocking chair. It makes you feel like you're doing something, but it doesn't get you anywhere. But prayer changes things. As you know, worry, according to many Christian doctors and psychologists, worry, anxiety, and stress is not good for you physically, emotionally, or spiritually. But what is good for you physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Prayer is good for us. Physically, doctors have said it helps lower blood pressure, it helps with all sorts of diseases. To spend time in prayer helps people physically. They have more peace, less anxiety. It helps you emotionally and it helps you spiritually by bringing you closer to God, which is the most important aspect of prayer. Yes, there are wonderful side effects and benefits of prayer, but prayer, of course, is first to bring us into union with God. So I would recommend, if you want to study about worry and how to overcome it, there's many books you can read. In fact, on my website, which is fatherpefli.org, very easy to remember, www.fatherpefli.org. If you go there, you'll see over 200 talks on different topics. One of them is how to conquer worry. I gave this talk to Theology on Tap, to a group of young adults, where I go through very practical ways to overcome worry and then spiritual ways to overcome worry. A great book is Dale Carnegie's book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. Excellent book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. But spiritually, you can read the Montfort's True Devotion. You can read the Trustful Surrender by St. Claude de la Colombiere. You could read Abandonment to Divine Providence by De Caussade. You could read The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. These are the great spiritual classics that will help give you more peace and take away anxiety, stress, and worry. So those are, if you want more information, just go look up those books or go to the website and you can get more information on how to conquer worry and overcome worry in your life. Because what does Jesus say? Martha, Martha. He repeats her name twice. I think that's to get her attention. You're anxious and worried about many things. So what she was doing was good, serving, cooking the meal, but she lost her peace. She lost her peace of mind, her peace of soul, and she began to complain, and she was filled with anxiety and worry. So Jesus gives the answer. There is only one thing that is necessary. Remember, the Bible says, put first the kingdom of God and all these things will be given to you besides. Mary has chosen the better part and it will not be taken from her. See, the active life is good, but the contemplative life, the life of prayer, is better. So obviously being active is good, but spending time in prayer with God is even better. So Martha represents the active life, Mary the contemplative life, and the church has always upheld the beauty of the contemplative life, the poor clares, the Carmelites, the monks that spend time in prayer, because it upholds this because it reflects more perfectly the life of heaven, which is prayer and praising God and adoring Him and loving God and contemplating His majesty. So the antidote to worry and anxiety is prayer. So we should say to ourselves, how is our prayer life? Because St. Augustine says, for Jesus to be perfectly served in our life, we have to combine Martha and Mary. We have to combine discipleship and apostleship. Discipleship is sitting at the Lord's feet in quiet prayer. Apostleship is serving the Lord, being an apostle, bringing other people closer to God. Now, of course, in my own thought, I said, how could they have solved this? Well, of course, they could have invited Jesus into the kitchen and say, Lord, just come into the kitchen. We can hear and we can talk to you, but we can get our work done as well. But that would have defeated the whole purpose of today's gospel, where the Lord wants to make a point that prayer is paramount in our life. So lastly, how is our prayer life? When we wake up every day, do we say the morning offering, dedicating our thoughts, words, and actions, and joys and sufferings to the Lord? Do we pray the rosary every day? That's 15 minutes of holding the Blessed Mother's hand as she leads us closer to Jesus, as she helps us to meditate upon the life of Christ. Do we try to do Eucharistic adoration? We have adoration Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 in the morning till 12 noon. Have you ever come by and just spent 10 minutes just sitting at the Lord's feet, sitting there and talking to the Lord and listening to Him? I think if every Catholic spent 10 minutes in quiet prayer, just listening to God's voice in their life, the whole world would be transformed. If every young person spent 10 minutes in silence and prayer every day, they would discover their vocation, because God would then be able to speak to them and tell them what He wanted them to do in life. So do we ever try to go to daily Mass if we can? One booklet I'd recommend is a monthly booklet that comes out called the Magnificat. The Magnificat has morning prayer, evening prayer, and nighttime prayer. It has all the readings of daily Mass, as well as excellent commentaries on those readings. So the Magnificat, I would recommend. And then, besides our prayer life, how is our serving life? How do we serve? Perhaps we could teach religious education, you could help with Vacation Bible School or join the choir, become an usher, a lector, bring Holy Communion to the homebound. There's so many ways to serve the Lord. Knights of Columbus, Legion of Mary, dozens of ways in our parish to serve the Lord. So for the Lord to be served perfectly, Augustine says, Martha and Mary need to be combined in our life. So a life of prayer, discipleship, a life of service, apostleship, active life and contemplative life. And I think if we do that, we can become the saints that God wants us to be.